When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
good morning, everyone. It's the 21st day of March. It's a Thursday, and I tell you what, the McCafe menu is locked and loaded. Travis Boak, ahead of his 350-game milestone, our favourite South Australian who's been a semi-regular with us for a number of years. Stevie Baker is going to come in ahead of the big Saints and Collingwood game at the MCG. So every Thursday, we're going to try and get someone from either of the two teams that's played in the past to wander in and talk about the rivalry. So he's going to be in the studio with us from Eight Whispers. That'll be a good chat. And then Georgie, and have I got some questions for John from Emmy? I'm sure he'll come cap in hand with an apology to me about Max Gawn. But let's not preempt anything. He's coming up this morning as well. G'day, Wisp.
Oh, we never want to overpromise and underdeliver. Good morning to you, Gary. But I did speak to Johnny late yesterday, yeah. And he can't wait to speak to you.
Apology?
He is locked and loaded.
Apology?
All I'm saying is that he's locked and loaded.
He better be locked and loaded.
And he can't wait to speak. You won't want to miss it this morning.
I'll be loading him.
He's off the long run with you this morning.
He said that Max was weak last week.
He's off the long run this morning. buddy, I saw a big parcel arrive for you this morning. Is there a Wisp parcel alongside that?
Yeah, so you got some nice Bailey Nelson sunglasses there.
Is that right?
Yep.
Oh, they're nice.
Yeah, they're beautiful little pair.
Gee, you're doing well with parcels. There's a parcel a day here for you now. You haven't redirected your mail here, have you?
Yes, I have.
Oh, you have? Okay.
I've moved house. And there's nothing worse than, mind you, at my house, the parcels, if there's 50 parcels, 48 of them are for Nikki and or someone else.
And others, yeah.
But then, I tried to deliver the parcel, you weren't there, go to the post office, all that stuff. So I think the Wilson Golf Clubs will be coming here, Whispers.
Date night. Last night, my partner and I were walking around Woolies scanning products with the Yuka. Love your work, Gary.
I saw someone. I was in the supermarket too. There was a lady in the frozen department, had her phone out. I'm thinking, she must be a Yuka operator.
Did she have icicles on her eyebrows?
No, she didn't.
Hey, unders or overs? Let's play this little game called unders.
Hello, we've come with a segment.
You've got to go.
The first one for 5 years.
You've got to say unders or overs,
right,
okay?
I love it.
I'll make a statement, right?
Yep.
300,000 condoms will be available for the athletes at the Paris Olympics. Unders or overs?
Unders.
Okay, that's the only question I got for
that's
you.
That's the only one you got. Oh, well, 70,000 are expected or hoped for at the MCG tonight for the Saints and Collingwood Spuds game.
Unders.
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 That'd be a good
result.
There'll
be over 70,000 people there tonight, and I am very much looking forward to this game. I think it's going to be a cracking
game. I'm looking forward to it as well. Out of seven, we will talk to Collingwood fans. I want to know. Don't worry what we think or anyone else thinks. I want to know if Collingwood fans are going in supremely confident tonight, or whether they've just got a little bit of nervousness about it.
Oh, there's so much external ammunition that they have at the Pies at the moment. You would expect. You said to me this morning. You said, "Wisp, tonight's the night they explode." Well, that'll be interesting.
I think they will.
Well, they might, but the other team may explode. Their explosion may be greater than the Pies' explosion. They're playing
true.
A good team.
That is true. They're playing a fit team who love running.
They do.
They can run them ragged. Try and run them ragged.
You've got a great head of hair, which is just
a haircut.
It's just lucky. It's got nothing to do with you. It's all about pants.
I had a trim
yesterday.
It's all about
Bev. I know. I can know. I see that. Oh, Coxie's awake this morning.
Coxie didn't get much sleep last night.
Do you wash your hair with shampoo or soap?
No, soap. Who washes their hair with soap? There's your problem right there. You wash your hair with soap.
You don't need shampoo. Why do you need shampoo?
This is extraordinary. I've never
just soap.
I have never heard anything like this.
Oh, half the people, if not more, will be on my, will say, I can guarantee you, overs right. or unders, right. half the people listening this morning will say the same thing. They wash their hair with soap.
Bulldust. SEN poll. Right. Do you wash your hair with soap or shampoo?
What about...
The wish just gets the soap off the tray, do you? So whoever's been washing their body and their underarms and wherever else with the soap, you then whack it through your eight follicles.
Okay, and what about the hair on your head?
No, who washes it? How can you wash your hair with soap?
It's how not, can you not?
Soap's not for hair.
Well, why not?
Is it? Why not? Well, it's a staggering thing you've just said.
Gavin, I just wanted to say how good Shane Novella was on the podcast yesterday. Oh. The Mal Brown story was very good.
Go and have a listen to the rabbit
she
hole.
She was fantastic.
Go and listen to the rabbit hole. Shane Novella from Channel 7 was a special guest and she told a couple of great stories. She was the reporter that had to go and see Mal and ask, she wanted to ask him a question about Campbell.
Yeah, and his behaviour overseas.
And we'll give you Mal's response to her, and then she put the context around it last night. And fascinating story about James Hurd as well.
It was. It was. What else have you got there that we need to talk about this morning?
Here it comes. Shampoo. Body,
soap.
Body.
Soap.
Body wash soap. Body, face and... What? Body wash soap. Body, face and hair.
Okay. Hang on a second. Yeah. We've had three responses and two of them are soap and one shampoo.
That is true. Here's Mal Brown. This is Sharnell Vella who told us this story on the Rabbit Hole podcast. She was a poor reporter that had asked the question. This was the response from Mal.
Sure. We just wanted to ask you if you've spoken to your son at all.
No, I haven't. And can you go and get out of my life and out of my property and ring up and make the time like every other... got any manners, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you, she said. Fruity language. Very fruity.
Very, very fruity. Mm. She is a great talent.
She is a great talent.
Great chat. I'm starting to lose this.
Wisp. Gary's 100% correct. Only Fruit Loops use soap in there.
Surge, palm olive gold. That's what he uses.
Shampoo. I thought you scratched your head because you're unsure, but it's from the soap. Yeah, that's right.
Shampoo all the way. You're a psycho. Wish soap for washing your hair is nuts, Ryan.
You should never have said this. This is going to haunt you for the rest of your days.
What difference does it make?
Well, soap's not for hair. That's what shampoo's for.
Well, what's soap made from?
I don't know, but it's not for what I'm saying.
What
is
goes into shampoo? The next time you got your euchre out,
I don't know.
I want you to go up to the shampoos and find out what's in the shampoos.
I use a little bit of Head and Shoulders because I get a bit of a skin.
That's for blackheads, Head and Shoulders, isn't it?
For blackheads? Well, I've got a blackhead. What do you mean it's for blackheads?
I thought it was sort of like a pimple thing, Head and Shoulders.
What is wrong with you this morning?
I haven't had much sleep.
Oh. How did you go for the little show, the tiny show last night?
Great.
Now, this has come from an expert. It is highly unadvisable to wash your hair with soap every day. This is because soaps are extremely dry. This is your answer. This is because soaps are extremely drying and can therefore leave your hair super brittle and prone to breakage. Your hair's all broken off. Hair's all broken off because you use soap to wash it.
I like what the soap does for my hair.
What, breaks it?
No, it makes it feel thicker.
No, I'm telling you it doesn't.
I do leave some soap in it, though.
I'm telling you it doesn't. Anyway, we'll get on with it.
Hey, Gaz, thanks for ruining my life. I tried the Yuka app last night. Apparently my whole life is done. Cadbury's Chomp Bars are 20 out of 100.
Yeah, well,
that's from
right.
Adam.
Well, this is the ramble for Cobram Estate Olive Oil, the finest olive oil in the world. And I Googled, I had the Yuka on that. 90 out of 100.
That doesn't surprise anybody.
Does not.
That will not surprise anyone. This is what I used to use when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. I no longer use this, but somebody's onto exactly the same thing. I use Velvet Soap, recommended to use by Dermatologist Most Natural. Maybe that's where I got it from.
What, on your head?
Yeah.
No.
Well, that's what my dad used, so I used the same thing.
Well, make a change and tell Joe. Tell Joe. There's generations. There's Job and then there's Wolf. I don't want them using soap in their hair, Whispers. That's just not on. I'm sorry. I've got a pull rank on that. I'll buy you some nice shampoo.
Don't use the Solvo soap. Wisp, your hair will fall out
immediately. I went. This is a good thing to do if you get. I went to the. If you like golf, I went to the driving range yesterday. Just in the middle of the day, had a couple of hours to spare. So one of the boys was. He had a day off as well. So we went and hit some golf balls at the driving range. It's a great thing to do. It has a tracker.
Right.
You don't know anything about golf, do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
Well,
I know exactly what you mean.
When you're watching golf and they drive it and the tracks are
more. Yeah, I know what a track is.
Well, it's good. It tells you how far you hit it and how far you hit each club.
Right. How far were you smacking them yesterday?
The furthest one I got was 270, 273, I think.
And you got some new clubs
that
here.
That was a little bit of run. Oh, I think that was a bit of run off the
ground. Right. The new clubs, are you going to be able to whack it a bit further now?
I will. I'll take them and give them a run as well.
How many new clubs do you need?
What do you mean?
Well, how often do you need to change your clubs when you're playing golf?
Well, it's only because they were offered to me and I'm very, very appreciative. Otherwise, I'd be happy to have one set for life.
Okay. No, it wasn't a loaded question. I was just asking you.
There are lots of people that change their clubs regularly, like serious, serious golfers, because they want the best and the latest technology.
And there's new stuff coming out all the time.
Yeah, like the Wilsons are magnificent, the Callaways are great, the TaylorMades are great, they're all great sets of golf.
Yeah, well, I've seen all those brands in your kit bag.
You could do, anyway, it's a nice thing to do.
Do you have dandruff, do you? Is that why you use the Head and Shoulders?
Well,
that's coming through on the tech.
Not all the time, but if your head gets a bit scratchy and your scalp gets a bit dry, you whack a bit of the old Head and Shoulders in.
Right. What sort of conditions do you suffer from? Like
grumpiness.
Right.
Tiredness.
Have you ever watched that pimple popper? You know when it comes up?
No, I have not.
You know what? I went down that hole once, and it is... You don't want to watch it, but at the same time, you don't want to not watch it.
No, I do. I don't not want to watch it. I never watched it. I would never watch that.
There's a sort of like a, no, there's a fascination.
What
in
is
all
it? Seeing people pop their pimples. That, you reckon that's good, do you?
Well, I can lose hours watching stuff like that.
This show this morning is quite extraordinary. The Wisp is a pimple watcher and a soap washing setup.
What's your favorite? I asked you this before we came on air this morning about the snack. At what stage of the day or what time? Time of the day, do you feel is snack time for you?
When I feel like I need a snack more
than any other time of the day.
About 3:30.
Yeah, snap. Yeah, well, mate, I'm a bit later than that. I'm about a 4:30 ish.
Yeah, but that's a well researched.
Is it?
That's where you.
Why is it?
Oh, you get a dip, and then you crave a bit of a lift. That's why people go for like a sugary hit at that time of the day. No good.
Right.
No good. I have the Vita Wheat, very high on the Yuka scale. The Vita Wheat
with
some tomato, salt, pepper.
No,
little,
I love
little
that.
Drizzle olive oil, a little of the Cobram Estate.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
That tides me over until dinner time.
I'm doing nuts at the moment, like a little bag of nuts.
You are nuts.
Like a little bag of nuts from the vending machine at work. Is that okay?
You've got a
There's only a couple of little cashews in there. There's some Brazil nuts. There's some peanuts.
Do you know, as we were talking about this, right, up it come on the old Yuka, says snacking in the afternoon is a perfectly good way to keep your energy up, and then it gives you an ideal snack, and you know the first snack it says? Nuts.
Yep. Are they a favourite snack or are they the best snack you can
one
have?
One to
healthiest
two
snack,
and a half ounces of nuts, preferably walnuts and almonds. See, that's a bit boring for me. 2 squares of dark chocolate, serve of fruit.
What's a serve, though? How big is a serve of fruit?
Don't know. Just says a serve of fruit. A green or white tea.
Tea doesn't do it for me.
No. Anyway, that's the way we go. That's the way we're...
So how many of the bickies do you have for your...
The Vita Wheats?
Yeah.
Maybe 5.
Right.
That's
a pretty boring snack, though. A lot of people say that's a boring snack.
As opposed to eating a handful of almonds. That'll get you up and about. Whoa, Chanel, look. Let's see if we can get some almonds. That's an exciting snack, Whispers. book online for the best rates at melbourneairport.com.au. SEM Breakfast. We're powered by Kubota. Big day today. St Kilda and Collingwood at the MCG. The Socceroos are playing Lebanon. Did you say that's tonight?
Yes.
World Cup qualifier?
Up in Sydney.
Sport going on everywhere. And we've got a great guest. Travis Boak, ahead of game number 350. Stevie Baker, Georgie Samios. Johnny from Epping's going to fall on the sword after 6:30. Make sure you're listening for that. And this is the ramble for Cobram Estate. Estate, Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil, grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.
God, I love the ramble.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Well, it's a busy show this morning. We've got stuff going on everywhere. We've got recommendations coming in left, right and centre. You want to thicker hair, we spy a laser cap. They are proven to regrow some and maintain hair.
Onto it. I'm onto it. Good morning, men. Tim, I've never used anything on my hair other than soap. I have a full head of healthy hair. Even hairdressers tell me how soft and healthy it is. Gary, try the soap. That's from Daryl out there.
Now, we don't do footy at this time of the morning, but for Western Bulldog fans, you'll be excited. You'll be up and about. Because we've been talking about Jamara Ugahagan. Tom Morris, Channel 9's chief footy reporter, has jumped on the line at 24 minutes past six. Very early. Thomas, welcome to you.
Morning, guys. Morning, Tim. Yes, good news for Western Bulldogs fans. So I can tell you this morning that Jamara Ugahagan isn't going anywhere. He hasn't re-signed yet, but he will. It will be a 2 or 4 year deal, and you can lock it in that he'll be at the Dogs for the foreseeable future. Very good news for Dogs fans.
Jeez, we've got two massive dog fans out here in their back room. Right. Now. They are running around with a dog, like a dog with a tin, if you know what I mean. That's how excited they are.
Oh, they're rolling over. They're scratching each other's tummy.
So a 2 or 4 year deal, what's going to be the clincher for the 2 or the 4? And what sort of sheets and wedge are we talking?
We're talking good money, but I'm sure he could have got even better money elsewhere. I mean, it's been widely reported on your station as well, Tim, with Mitch talking about the Hawks' interest, Richmond, Collingwood, Essendon, Sydney. These sorts of clubs were weighing up what they could offer him and how long that deal could be. I mean, that deal, if he left, likely would have been 6, 7, 8, maybe even 10 years. I'm not sure what the money will be at the Dogs, but I do know that 4 years takes him to free agency. 2 years is obviously shorter term. I mean, the order of events here is that his management has told clubs over the past few days that he'll be staying at the Dogs, and yesterday the Dogs were informed by his manager, Robbie DiRaggio, that he will be staying, and now it's just a matter of getting a deal done. So it is a good day to be a Dogs fan because they locked in Norton long-term last year. Yep. Now they're about to lock in Jamara Ugahagan. All that's left is Bailey Smith, who they're growing in confidence over, and Tim English, who they're not sure about yet, and they can lock in all four. But it's a big moment for the Dogs and Jamara Ugahagan as well.
That is. Good on you, Thomas. Channel 9 footy chief reporter. He's got the Sunday night show. He's there. What sort of shampoo are you using on your locks? Because we find out this morning that the Wisp's using soap. What are you using on your recently thatched feathers?
I use Advanced Hair Studio shampoo, and it's some of the best I would recommend.
It's working a treat.
Good on you, Tommy. Thanks for sharing that with us, and well done.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tim.
Tommy Morris there, the Channel 9 shiny new recruit who's doing great things with the news that Jamara Ugahagan is going nowhere. So
that is great. That's
great news for the Dogs.
Great news for the Dogs, isn't it?
Yeah, it's superb.
It's crossed off one of our main talking points for the next 6 months. Yeah. What are we going to talk about now?
I'll have to make something.
Can you find something else?
We don't make anything up. What else did I have to talk to you about? Oh, you know how, because I've moved places, I've got a steam shower.
Yeah.
I didn't really know how to use it.
And?
I exercised yesterday and I thought, I might have a steam. Magnificent.
How does it work?
Well, steam comes out and you just sit there and it steams you like a broccoli.
Well, hang on a minute. You're the one that said that you didn't know how it worked.
Well, there's a...
And you worked it out. Well, yeah, so how does it work?
Well, there was a little glass button thing in the side in the shower and you had to tap on that and then the controls come up.
So can you describe the sensation of having a steam shower?
Well, it's like a sauna, but it's steam and it's hot and you get all your pores open up and you can do it. You can do some stretching while you're in there.
Stretching?
Yes. Well, because you're getting hot. It's a good time to stretch, Tim.
So is it in
the... What else are you going to do for 20 minutes?
Is it in the same space as the shower?
Yes, in this other shower, which you shut the door and it's locked in.
Right.
Like it's not an open shower.
How long do you go in there for?
20 minutes steam.
Right.
So my skin...
Would you recommend people getting one? Do you think it's that good?
Well, if you like saunas and steams and you like having a sweat.
Right.
You
know? Are they expensive to add to your bathroom?
I had nothing to do with me. I didn't buy this house. I'm just lending it.
Have you got an ice tub there as well?
A what?
Ice tub.
No.
No, you were talking about
In the house that we hope to build, yes, yes, we would have a hot and cold set up, but not here. But it was good. It was good.
Mm. What does Yuka say about it? What did that rate it at?
It didn't have a barcode on it. Hey, Trav Boak is joining us. So if you're a fan of footy, but if you're a Port Adelaide fan, I think he transcends teams, Travis Boak, don't you?
He's a very, very likable, well-respected man, he is.
Yeah, so he doesn't offend anyone. So 350 games is an unbelievable effort. So he's going to join us at 8:40. Stephen Baker, who one of your favourites, you coached him, didn't you?
I did. At the start of his career, I coached him. And I admire him very much. I've been following him on IG, which is Instagram.
Oh, yeah.
And he's been doing
What's
a lot of great work with this grit. He's got a bit of a
with
business.
What?
Grit. G-R-I-T. He's got a business.
You put in your hair?
No, you can't put it in your hair. He talks about his journey and that type of thing in life. He's got a very interesting story to tell.
I'm looking forward to that. He's coming in after 8, of course, ahead of the big Saints and Collingwood game. We're going to try and do that every Thursday, have someone from the teams competing that night. So we'll be looking forward to that. George Samios is joining us from the Barossa. And John from Epping is coming up after the 6:30 news. And you say...
He's coming in hot.
How can he come in hot?
He's coming in hot. And you are in his sights.
How could I be in his sights?
You just are.
Oh, all right. I look forward to that. That's coming up after the 6:30 news.
That's the way the cookie crumbles.
A sports update for Keezer. Sitting on the sidelines? Get back in the game with Keezer Physiotherapy, Rehabilitation and Strength Training.
Small-minded, some of those other stations, aren't they?
Mm. Not many people can afford a steam shower, Gary. You're doing okay.
He's
doing okay,
no,
by
no.
The way.
It's not my
It's
place.
A rental, isn't it?
Yes, it is. So take that back, please. Tommy Morris just tells us that Demario Hagan set to re-sign the Dogs. That's great news. Changes for St Kilda. Sinclair and Jones are in. We'll talk about this. Crouch goes out with the young man Collard. And for the Pies, Frampton, Mitchell, McInnes in. Dean, Johnson, Hoskin, Elliott's a surprise, goes out.
Yes, and Craig McRae had some interesting things to say about team selection this week. We'll play that a little bit later too, maybe after 7 o'clock this morning. West Coast captain, co-captain Oscar Allen is expected to avoid surgery for a right knee injury as Eagles continue to investigate the star forward's bone stress issue. He's going to be out of action for a while though. What can you tell us about the Bombers? Who have they brought back this weekend?
Well, some Essendon edge is coming back in with Big Sam Draper. I want to talk to you about that. Darcy Parrish expected to return and Ben Hobbs, but maybe not for this weekend, but he might be available. Bailey Smith... They've offered a 2-year extension for Bailey Smith, says Calculating Kel Toomey, but he hasn't signed that as yet.
Yeah, there's still a lot of conversation around where he may play next year. AFL CEO Andrew Dillon confirmed Sam Edmonds' story yesterday that the microchip balls will be used at VFL level this weekend as the league strives to have a level of decision-making technology seen in cricket and tennis. Is this going to solve all our problems, the ball technology?
We'll have a chat about it further. Justin Longmuir, he's whacked back at a couple of the critics.
Good on him.
I think Kingy and the Chief said that they weren't that impressed with the 1-year extension. He's given them a nice old whack back. We'll talk about that as well.
They've criticised him, I think, for being a little bit mundane and boring. It doesn't matter if people don't give a lot, does it? Like, we like the
That's
ones that do give a
wrong.
Lot. We do like the ones that give a lot.
I didn't know about that. I thought it was more about the term, the length of the term.
But maybe it was Korn that said that he was a bit... I don't want to put words in Korn's mouth, but I think he said something along the lines of he's a little bit
anyway,
boring.
He's whacked back. He's had a win. He's whacked them back. Good on him.
We got that other whack yet or not?
No.
We haven't got that other whack up or not?
Working on it. The 2023 mid-season number one draft pick, Ryan Marrick, has signed a new 2-year deal with the club. It's good news for the Eagles.
Excellent news for the Eagles because they need some good news. Australian punter Cameron Johnson, this? He signed a new 3-year contract with the Pittsburgh Steelers worth $13 million. Now, is that $13 million US or $13 million Australian? I think it's US.
I assume it's US, but he's...
Because that's a lot of Australian dollar, the $13 million US.
Dollar. We'll clarify that. But anyway, it's a great deal to go to the Steelers. He was at Houston, of course, and before that he was at Philadelphia. And as we told you, Socceroos take on Lebanon tonight. 8:10, Combank Stadium. They'll play Lebanon the second round of the World Cup qualifiers. The Socceroos currently on top of Group 1, having won both games so far. Win the ultimate mates trip to Tassie, thanks to Spirit of Tassie. Conditions apply. Enter at iCanWin.com.au.
You've become the Yuka specialist now. We're getting all sorts sorts of questions from people about you because somebody says that they've gone, you've created a problem. They use the Rexona original they've looked it up. It's only 8 out of 100.
No, that's not what Yuka's used for. I love this one. This is Greg from Irrawilpi. Is that how I pronounce it? Morning, boys. I've been giving the missus a bit of stick about this chicken broth she started drinking. You know, like it's no good for you. What do you act? What's actually in it? Popped it in the new Yuka app. 100 out of 100. Now she's walking around like a rooster.
Hey, and thanks a lot, Gary. Trying to eat my breakfast, and now all I can think about is you stretching in the shower. That's from Kat in Sandhurst.
Sorry, Kat.
Maybe that would be the great painting that our man Suve could do of you. Gary in a steam shower.
Yeah. With the
that would be a difficult thing to paint.
Strategically covered wisps of steam.
Exactly.
We'd have to crank the steam up. Johnny from Epping. God, get him on. I've been waiting for this man all week. He's coming up next.
I think it's fun.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. Conversation starters for the drain man. Drain relining is the no dig, no drama way to rehabilitate your assets. The drain man.
Well, I got a call from John from Epping late yesterday. He's extremely sorry. He cannot wait to get on the airwaves this morning and apologise to you, Gary, about stuff that he had to say about Max Gorn last week. Good morning to you, John.
Good morning, boys. Good morning. How you going?
We're going okay. Do you want to start with the apology to Gary or do you want to start somewhere else this morning?
Oh, no. Before I got to the apology, I wanted to get Gary on the right track because on the end, he has to apologise to me.
What?
Hang on.
What? You just listen. Pretty well what I got to say to you. When we were talking about the game Sydney Swans and Melbourne...
Yeah.
We will say every time the opposition give a little bit of a bump to Max Gorn, he goes to the ground and he can't get up. And I said to you, he must get an injury or he's not fit. But I never mentioned the words weak like you say this morning. I never mentioned weak.
Right.
So you apologize to me.
I apologize for using the term weak. You said he went down and stayed down. I just thought that the inference was that he was weak.
No, I stayed down. It did happen half a dozen times. I didn't tell you lies. Half a dozen times. Not just me say that. All the other commentators say that.
He might have got him in the sensitive spot. You know, where...
don't give me these excuses. just to say, apologise and that's it.
Right, I apologise to you. Yep. Now, will you apologise to me for him coming up against the All-Australian Ruckman and just smashing him to pieces?
Yeah, but the problem is, I'm going to go to the game against the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just hang on there. I was going to mention that.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, I was going to mention that.
Yeah.
Can you tell me, Melbourne, who they play against the Bulldogs?
The All-Australian Ruckman.
The All-Australian Ruckman?
Yeah.
Why don't you mention Melbourne play against the Bulldogs second? They play against the Bulldogs second.
They did not.
What do you mean I did not? You got this player from the Bulldogs, Jamal Hagen, $1 million a year. Yeah. He couldn't even kick a goal 25 meters right in front. He missed 3 goals, one after the other. And you talk about giving him $1 million a year.
Yes, he played well. He kicked 3 goals.
He played well, but when he's supposed to kick the goal, did he kick the goal? So no, he didn't.
Well, that's because Melbourne was so good.
I think Johnny, I think you're avoiding the question. Max Gorn came up against Tim English, the All-Australian ruckman, and he beat him.
Good point, Tim.
No, you don't convince me yet, mate.
You don't
convince me yet. The way I saw the Bulldog play, I think if they would have put the reserve... That would have played better than the senior.
Oh, come on. You
have to admit that.
Hang on.
You say to me, I have to apologise
yes,
because...
Yes, you do.
What I say, I didn't pick them to be on the IT. You wanted me to apologize to you. I will apologize. You know when?
When?
In September. I apologize in September. When are they on the IT, the market final? I say, Gary, I apologize. I got that wrong.
I've got to wait all the way till September.
You're going to wait until September.
All right, fair enough, fair enough. But they did have Bontempelli, Liberatore, Hugo Hagen, English, Norton. They had a pretty good side out there.
Yeah, but what they've done it?
What?
I didn't even see them play.
That's because the Melbourne were playing well.
Because of their position, let them to do whatever they want.
Yeah.
How come they didn't play well against Sydney with their three best players out?
Well, because Melbourne had their best players out.
Come on, Gary. Don't go around the bush with me.
All right, I won't go around the bush with you anymore.
Now I wanna ask you a question about Ben Brown.
Yes.
I saw him play,
yeah,
and the way he was playing, he was look like 25 years old.
He looked all right.
Now you're gonna tell me, did he done two knee replacements or he was on steroids?
What? You come with a conspiracy theory now.
I never seen me play running and twisting around like he did on that game. For years and years, mate. Something must have happened somewhere.
He might have just got himself fit, Johnny.
He might have just trained hard.
He did look fit, didn't he, Johnny?
He was twisting around and running like a gazelle. He never used to do that when he was playing for North Melbourne.
Well, he doesn't mean he's on steroids, Johnny.
Well, something must have happened.
He may have just discovered a new training regime.
You're on fire today.
Now, what about the interview that Gary did with Laura Kane a couple of weeks ago on show?
I'm so upset about that.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm very upset with Gary.
Oh,
the poor lady, Gary tried to destroy her career.
What?
I thought
you
that too.
To destroy her career.
How?
But if on the end of the year she's going to get the sack from the AFL, are you going to feel the duty or not?
No, she won't get the sack from the AFL.
Never know the way you treat her.
Well, she's the boss of the footy. She's got to be able to answer the hard questions.
Yeah, but she couldn't.
Well, that's not my fault. It's not my fault.
That would have been the first interview, which was a very strong interview, the poor thing.
Did he go a bit hard, do you think, Johnny?
A bit hard.
I was not. It was just she was absolutely fine. She handled it beautifully.
Yeah, she handled it beautiful, but how come the whole week every radio station I was listening to, you were on, do the interview to her,
yeah,
and all the television station you were on to do the interview to her. And they were saying she couldn't answer your question.
Oh, no. Well, there was just one bit where I thought that she didn't quite get it right. Everything else she was absolutely magnificent with.
Now I've got another one for you.
Oh, come
mind.
On. You're giving me a hiding this morning.
Yeah,
keep going.
Well, you deserve it.
Yeah, keep going.
So you were saying last week,
yeah,
I bet to reduce the time, the quota to the players because they played too long. You were saying that?
Yes, he did. He wants to reduce the length of the game.
Yeah, that's right.
Now,
yep. Yes.
I listen to all of your game you done with the Fox.
Yep.
And I listen to you three times a week on SCN.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
You work 7 days a week.
Yes.
And that's okay for you. You don't practice what you preach.
I don't what?
You don't practice what you,
you
preach.
You don't practice what you preach.
Oh, yeah, no, that's right.
You work 7 days a week, that's okay. And you want a player to reduce the quota because they work too much.
Yeah, you've got me. I'm laying my guns down. You've beaten me into submission. If you got anything you can smack Tim about?
Okay, I've got one for Tim too now.
God, yeah, thank God for that.
He thought he was going to get away.
Oh, no, yeah. good.
What do you got for
so
me?
Tim, I saw you when you presented your number to Ben McKay.
Yep.
He's 26 years old.
Mm.
And I don't know how you denigrate yourself to give your jumper to a 26 years old. And he's not a really champion. He's just an average player. Why didn't you give your jumper years ago when Essendon had a 2 or 3 good number one pick.
Good point, Johnny.
That's the young player that deserves your number.
Good point.
And for that, they could apply like they did apply for 10, 15 years.
Right, you're just dirty
you've
on...
You've never done it.
No, but you're just dirty on Ben McKay because he left North Melbourne. Let's be honest.
No.
Yes,
no,
you are.
I'm not dirty at all.
Yes, you are.
He never put the house on fire with North Melbourne.
Yes, he put the house on fire for the Bombers at the weekend. I've never seen him play so well.
It's just one game against her.
He played very, very well.
Against who? Come on, tell me.
He looked at home.
You have to see when they put the house on fire against a good team.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I believe you.
Well,
when they play just an average team.
Well said.
Yeah, fair enough too. And what I know you're a little bit hot under the coal about some of the 50 metres. So what do you think about some of those that have been applied at the moment?
Well, I think the AFL have got a problem here because Carlton... He got a goal, which he shouldn't get that goal because it would have been too far away. Ticone, he got a mark, and then for some reason they give 50 meter, and the people that were doing the game,
when
they give the 50 meter, they measure the 50 meter, and guess what? Wasn't 50 meter, was 57.4 exactly. They put the laser beam on the ground to show exactly how far the umpire took it. Now, the umpire, can you tell me when the umpire going to learn when they do the step in 50 meter, they don't know when they open their steps how far it can go?
Yeah, well,
they're doing every week. Now, another one, Maxwell from Sydney. They've done it against your mob, Melbourne.
Well, yeah.
He got 70 metres, 750. It was 70 metres. The commentator was saying he got 70 metres. Yeah. And he got a goal there too as well.
Right. They're big penalties, aren't they, Johnny?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. See, when it's a tight game...
Makes a difference.
Like in Melbourne, Carlton and Richmond, you give another 4 or 5 extra meter, they can get a goal out of that to win the game.
Well, they should have a
silly mistake
they should have
from
a tape,
the umpire.
They should have a tape measure with them.
Well, I don't know about the type of measure, but they should have gone practical on the ground to see their steps, how far they can go.
Yeah. They need.
And then they got roughly idea where is a 50 meter, just a guess.
No, good point. That is a good point. We're going to let you go, but just quickly before you go, do you wash your hair with shampoo or soap?
I wash with the shampoo and conditioner.
Okay, that's why you've got one of the more svelte looking.
Yeah, he's got
on top.
You tried to be nice to me now.
Now, listen.
No, you got a beautiful hair.
I was going to get you a nice, I speak to my friends at North of Melbourne and get you a nice dinner, you and Marissa, a lunch at the Good Friday game. Not sure if I will after that.
Yeah, I was thinking about the same thing too. I said, Gary, you're not going to get me a lunch anymore.
Of course I will. Hey, great to talk to you, mate. You're on fire this morning.
Okay,
Johnny,
not about that, I have to tell you.
No, you're fine.
I hear you got a new pet lamb too. That's great. We'll talk about that maybe next week.
Thank you, yes.
Good on you. We'll talk about that next week. There he is, the champ. Whew, we're going to have to get legal onto a few of those things. He went with this morning in the Koga Mobile studio. Koga Mobile's got you covered. 120 gigs, $120 to use across 12 months. Koga.com. Clicking awesome.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Unbelievable support for Johnny this morning. I think he was in career best form, although 8848's gone off to the sick bay. He won't be heard. He can't have that language on our little program. Text or no text whispers.
I missed that.
Yeah, well, he's off. He's gone. He's off to the sick bay. A lot of fun the first hour, but gee, fair bit coming up. Trav Boak, Stevie Baker in the studio, Georgie, and of course your calls and text messages are always welcome. After 7 o'clock, Saints Collingwood tonight. Collingwood fans, I want to hear from you, and Saints fans, are you a bit nervous, or will tonight be redemption night?
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. The Good Oil for Cobram Estate.
Australia's most awarded extra virgin olive oil. Grown, harvested and first cold pressed in northern Victoria.
What is a good oil on tonight's big match, MCG, at Spuds Game? So you can get involved there. Go to the St Kilda website and raise much-needed funds for the Danny Frawley Centre and raising awareness of mental health. MCG, 7:30 tonight. The reigning premier is looking for their first win of the year. They're 0-2. The Saints also looking to open their account. Crouch, Collard out. In comes Zach Jones and their most important, or the best player, according to Rossi, Jack Sinclair. And for the Maggies, Frampton, McInnes and Mitchell. Tommy Mitchell come in. Dean, Charlie Dean, Hoskin Elliott and Ash Johnson go out of that side. Whispers, I want to hear from Collingwood fans and Saints fans. Confidence levels going into tonight. Are you just certain that the rebound will come, that the victory will be there? You're worried about the running capacity of this St Kilda side? We know that Ross picks runners, runners, runners.
They've got great running power. I want to play you this, though. This is Craig McRae yesterday on Sports NXT about role players and why they made the changes at selection that they did last night.
Everyone knows who the stars are, but the role players quite often get missed, and you're constantly trying to reward those behaviours within the team because there needs to be change after, or well, there doesn't need to be change, but we've decided to change a few things up, looking for a spark or a different version.
So they're looking for a spark or a different version of the players that they brought in. Who's going to provide that spark or that different version?
Well, Frampton's a role player. He was the ultimate role player in the grand final. Yeah. Went to Harris Andrews and played on him. Now, he may pay back, which allows Howe to go forward. That could be one of the possibilities they're looking at.
Well, I don't think they'll do that. They could, but I think what they'll do is they'll play him in the Dean, where Dean has been playing and where Murphy played. They'll play him down back alongside the other guys.
My point was that he played forward as a role.
Yep.
There's no real role for him to, like, there's no attacking backman that you'd want to send him to, really, is there?
No, but I think they're trying to settle their back six and they'll play him down back. But having said that, they bring back in, I mean, St Kilda has got...
Say they'll play him in the Murphy role?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Sinclair, who Ross has acknowledged is their number one player in their team, so he comes in. So they've been strengthened by that. Zach Jones gives them a little bit more run as well. Where do you, when you, in the overall looking at this game, in its most simplistic analysis, where do you think, if St Kilda has an advantage in this game at all, where do you think that advantage might come from?
Maybe the ability to cover the ground and spread them, like Sydney did. Sydney spread Collingwood at the MCG last Friday night. Their kicking game enabled them to do it. Like, how many times did you see your man, Eric Goulden, get the ball out on the centre wing, like wide, spread them really wide and run really hard? And that's, you know, Zach Jones coming in and Crouch goes out. That's the bit of the sameness of this midfield of St Kilda we talked about. You know, the 200 gamer in there, Seb Ross and Crouch
Steel.
And Steele, they're all sort of in and at it. They need a bit more of a burst, a bit more run. And I would imagine that's what Jones is going to bring. And we know that Sinclair can.
And that's why, you know, the Wanganeen Malira becomes such an important player. Sinclair is a really good ball mover as well. They went and got Liam Henry, who was really good against Geelong in his first game. Obviously, you've got Brad Hill. He'll be able to provide that. That's exactly what those guys are there and designed to do.
Yeah. And they'll be looking at this. I think Collingwood are going to bounce, so I'll get to that in a moment. But they'll be looking at that midfield group and saying, righto, Steele and Pendles, just bring your running shoes, because you know we're gonna ask the question of you guys who are at a stage in your career where, and that's not being denigrating, but that's where footy's at. You're gonna look at the opposition and go, how can we test them? Well, let's test them here, leg speed. Let's see if we can run this midfield off their legs.
So, do you think in its simple instruction, it'll be that Brad Hill and Liam Henry, Sinclair and Wanganeen Malira, those guys will need to get the ball at half back. And then they'll try and chain the ball through handball, as we've seen other sides do, to get through that second layer of Collingwood defence, and then the game opens up. They got a number of goals out the back last week against Geelong too, doing that, the Saints.
Yeah,
not enough, but I think they did it four or five times.
Yeah, four goals from the back half. So, yeah, of course, all clubs are trying to play that, aren't they? Trying to run hard and go through. So,
but specifically, that seems to be the way that everyone believes that they can beat Collingwood.
Yeah, and also to turn the ball over in Collingwood's back half, because that's how Collingwood want to play, right? right? So Collingwood want to go and go fast. And the great version of Collingwood is they get through. Mm. And then you're in all sorts of trouble. The version against Sydney was no one got through because Darcy Moore was handing the footy back, because Pendlebury was handing it back, Quayne was handing it back, Rowbottom's tackling the jumper off their backs and turning it over in their forward half, and they're kicking seven goals. So they'll try and bring that sort of pressure as well. So then the onus goes on to, you know, little fella, what's his name? Jack Higgins and those sort. Yep. They've got to bring that sort of forward pressure, see if they can flip the footy over in their forward half. But having said all that, I think this is Collingwood's opportunity to make a bit of a statement. And this, like, you can't have Darcy Moore and those sorts of blokes playing in the same manner. So
that's one of the fascinations.
They've had their pride pricked. I would imagine their pride's been pricked.
Yeah. I thought it would have been pricked enough after the first game and the conversations that were there. I thought, okay, you know, they've had, you know, one, you know, maybe a softish mental effort in that first game.
Giants up there at Giants Stadium.
Yeah, good
Giants
team,
looking for some redemption, you know, all that sort of stuff. Maybe you could sort of explain that off, which I think there was a bit of that. You couldn't explain the second game off against Sydney other than we just weren't on.
Yeah, and there's an expectation. There is an expectation from their coach, though, that they're – Ross Lyon said, well, you can't flick a switch, and I think we all tend to agree with that to a point. But I think the expectation is that they're not that far off and they can flick a switch and they can get back to the type of football that we saw them play last year. There is interesting, like, just looking at, you know, their domination or not over the last couple of years, Collingwood, I was staggered when you look at the numbers on, they played in the last two seasons, right, 22-23, in 24 games, their game has been decided by 12 points or less.
Yeah.
They've won 20 of those games. 20 of those 24 games, they've won. Mm. So my point to that is you don't have to be that far off the mark, do you?
No.
You don't have to shift that much in your performance in a negative sense to be on the wrong side of that ledger.
And that's what Craig McRae said after that second game, where he was a bit, you know, as you, I would hope that he would be as well. He said, we don't think we're better than everyone else. He said, we know we're not that far better than everyone. And you can't think that because of those very things you spoke about, you know. 5 minutes to go in the grand final, they're behind. So I'm sure they know that they can't rest on their laurels. They're not sort of Hawthorne when they won their three. They're not Richmond when they won their two in a row. They've got to work hard at it.
They're an unbelievable team, and I think we all, even those that dislike Collingwood intensely, fell to like that team because of the way they played and how they were never out of a game and they always came with a rush and most of the time they got there, as those statistics point to. Ross Lyon also said, just talking about switching it on, switching it off, he's going to, and I think it was a fairly pointed sort of a comment that he made in the lead up to this game, and that is, well, we're going to see who's done the work. Like,
yeah.
Okay, we're going to.
I loved it.
And I think he's thinking in the back of his mind, well, I know we've done the work.
Mm.
I really do know we've done the work because all our players, they smashed their benchmarks pre-season.
Yeah.
They're running. I know they're a lot fitter than what they were last year. So let's, as to your point, let's test them out in those areas.
And conversely, Collingwood, I've heard Craig McRae say, oh, actually, we interviewed him in the first game. He said, look, all we can go on is the measurements when they come back, and they smashed all their measurements.
Mm.
You know, the Collingwood boys, they come back. Yeah, you're looking for a sign now. Is there anyone off? Well, they came back. They run their best times. They lifted heavier. They, you know, so there's no, from that point of view, there's no issue. But the issue is they've played two games, and hey, maybe they've played the grand finalists. Maybe Sydney and the Giants are going to be the best two teams in the competition going forward. They've certainly started really well. But you want to see it. And it's not through the middle for me. It's at both ends where they've got issues. So the forward line has been dysfunctional because, you know, they've had no mixed stay. So they've sort of gone the McInnes or Ash Johnson or McInnes. Johnson didn't work. Jamie Elliott's just looking, yeah, he started really slowly. And then, so your role players, your Hills and McCreary's don't get as many looks as you normally would. So the forward line is as much an issue. Like, the back line will sort itself out because Moore's a really good player. Mm. Quaynor's a really good player. Maynard is a, you know, competitor. Howe helps him. Howe's going to help him. So I haven't got that big an issue. They've been horrible, but I think they'll sort it out. It's the forward bit that is my concern for them.
I look at the St Kilda defence. They, on paper, they look like they match up pretty well against the Collingwood forward line, though, too, don't they? Like, there's nothing there that is really going to be scary about the Collingwood forward line, man on man, matching up.
No. But this is.
Or Cordy.
But like, you could say that last year. You looked at it and went, no, what is it? Majacek, Honest, Cox, hot and cold. Mm. Elliot, yeah, well, he can get a hold of you every now and then. Bobby Hill didn't really put the fear of God into you until the grand final come around. They've added Schultz. McCreary's, you know, defensive player. So, but that's the beauty of them last year, is that they just. You know, you could look at it and make a case for any other side, but they used to bring it every week.
Let's move on to something else. Brad Scott mentioned this yesterday about the Essendon edge. This is what he had to say.
We've been very explicit that, you know, we want an Essendon edge. And I think all Essendon people, now people who have followed our club for a long period of time know what an Essendon edge looks like, and we want that, but we want to be totally in control of what we're doing. I thought for the large part of the game, we did that pretty well, you know, against Hawthorn. And, you know, when you play an aggressive, contact, combative sport like AFL football, you know, players play on the edge. And we want that edge, but we don't want to go over the line either. So, you know, we got that right at times on the weekend, and we got that wrong at times. So we'll continue to find the line and to what the Essendon edge looks like.
When I hear a coach say stuff like that, to me, it means straight away they're putting their players on notice publicly.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I like it. Now, I want to see it, and I want to see it consistently, because it hasn't been a consistent theme of the way they've played. But for him to say that says to me, okay, well, you have said to me, as a group, we've talked about this, you need to play with more aggression and whatever, and sustained aggression and competitiveness. All right, let's talk about it publicly, because now I'm going out there and I'm going to tell everybody there's this thing called the Essendon edge. So when everybody's thinking, okay, well, what is this? When I watch them play, are they going to be able to produce that? Now, small sample size, their pressure numbers were as good as they've ever been. In fact, I think they're as high as any game that they played consistently over the four quarters last year in 2023 in that first game against Hawthorn at the weekend.
Yep, it's a good sign.
That's a good start, okay? And that's what he's talking about. Okay, that's where I want them to be. Mm. Can they maintain that type of rage when they play?
The thing is, you can't fake toughness.
You can't.
You can't fake toughness.
Every fan can see through that.
That's right. And so he must have a confidence in the group that there is a bit of edge about them. And you're right. Now they've got to bring it every week. We'll take a break. We'll talk about Justin Longmuir. He's hit back. He's hit back at some more scathing criticism. We'll play you a couple of bits of audio of that. And Connor, no, don't overrate your influence on me, Connor. I can think for myself, young man. We'll be back on the other side.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
I want you to have a listen to this, because I haven't heard this in its entirety at all, but Justin Longmuir, who had a one-year contract extension granted to him by Fremantle before the first game. Excuse me. And I think that broke on the Thursday night when the boys were about to sit down and do their Fox footy coverage. So this is Jason Dunstall and... Not Brad Scott. Is it Jason Dunstall and Kingy that were talking about Justin Longmuir on Fox Footy? Okay, let's have a listen.
I don't understand why you would extend a coach's tenure by 1 year. It's not showing long-term commitment. It doesn't do anything other than are you trying to take pressure off this year, and I don't know how it does that anyway.
Does it change?
I don't get it.
It's a PR stunt gone wrong. It really is. I mean, fancy giving a guy 1 year. You're not absolutely saying, he's our man, we've got him for another three, get used to it, guys, you know, lay down your guns. I think it's farcical. Everyone's seeing through this straight away. He's under enormous pressure to get this club rolling, play a brand of football that we've seen from McRae and Knicks and where football's actually going. So I just think they've made what they think's a great sell into a PR disaster.
Gee, that is the first time I've heard that. It's a farcical and a PR stunt gone wrong.
They did go pretty hard, and this is Justin Longmuir yesterday on his re-signing and that criticism.
You know, well, I value the people who see me go to work every day and see how I act inside the club. People want to take, have shots like that from, like I said, from across the country and not really knowing the background, I don't really get caught up in that. It doesn't really affect me. Like I said, what I value is the people that see me go to work, the players, the footy department, the club. They see me go to work every day. They see me messaging to the players. They see my relationships. They see the culture we're building here. Yeah, so that's the opinion I go on. So it doesn't really affect me, Barry.
So maybe that was the impetus for then Nathan Buckley on the couch to come out and ask for the character assassination to stop on Justin Lomia. I hadn't heard all that before. I think that was, anyway, everyone's entitled to their opinion. I don't know if a one-year extension is farcical and a PR stunt. I'm sure it wasn't a PR stunt from the Fremantle Footy Club's point of view. Now, you can argue, absolutely, you can argue whether or not...
It's not a long-term deal, though. Like, it's not... I'm with you. It's not like a... I don't know that it looks like a PR stunt. No. But at the same time, it's not a long-term deal. So they're saying, OK, well, we're not completely sure that you're going to still be here in 3 or 5 years, but we believe that the job that you've done to this point and what we're seeing you doing today justifies you having an extension to complete that over the next couple of years.
Yeah, I think you can interpret lots of ways. You can also say, we'll give you some clear air to coach this year, knowing that you've got next year now. Had it just been your contract is up at the end of this year and we hadn't maybe given you the year, what's the dialogue going to be? Now, I know you can still sack him if that's where you want to get to. But I think that's the point they're making. And they started really positively in the end. Anyway, it's the argy-bargy and the cut and thrust of footy. But Justin standing his ground, doesn't care what they say on the other side of the country. He values what people who see him go to work every day think.
Yeah, and that is the most important thing to him. But I think everybody does care what people are saying about them publicly. This morning, if you're just tuning into the program, Tom Morris from Channel 9 joined us. He broke this news about Jamari Hughel-Hagan, which is going to be great, great news to all those Bulldog fans out there.
Yes, good news for Western Bulldogs fans. So I can tell you this morning that Jamari Hughel-Hagan isn't going anywhere. He hasn't re-signed yet, but he will. Ooh. It will be a 2 or 4 year deal, and you can lock it in that he'll be at the Dogs for the foreseeable future. Very good news for Dogs fans. I'm not sure what the money will be at the Dogs, but I do know that 4 years takes him to free agency. 2 years is obviously shorter term. I mean, the order of events here is that his management has told clubs over the past few days that he'll be staying at the Dogs, and yesterday the Dogs were informed by his manager, Robbie DiRaggio, that he will be staying, and now it's just a matter of getting a deal done.
So, yes, there has been floated and suggested that this might be happening, but that is absolutely categoric from Tom Morris. Deal done, and he is staying as a Western Bulldog.
It keeps him available, though, does it not, the way that that would play out, that he may still be available when the Tasmanian team enters the competition too?
Whether it's 2 or 4 years, I guess we'll find out in the fullness of time. Sammy Edmund has suggested that the re-signing would happen as well, but today, this morning, with us, Tommy Morris going bang. Now, the rabbit hole review. Boys, I listened last night whilst cooking. Sharnell Vella, what a storyteller. Get her on often. The Mel Brown and James Heard stories had me in stitches. Yuka, the missus hates me now. I've gone through all the beauty products and found some harmful ones. And, yes, I did have a microphone incident yesterday that I've recovered from.
What happened yesterday?
I took a deep breath in and this dirty, rotten microphone had all the fluff on the end of it and this big ball of fluff went down my throat.
Mitch Cleary said on our program last night, Talking Footy, that the Sydney Swans have got a number of players coming out of contract as well, Eric Goulden and also Logan McDonald. Now, the interesting thing with Logan McDonald, he falls into sort of that key forward category, but I don't think he's going to attract the money, the attention, the notoriety that Jamari Hughel-Hagan has to this point, right?
He hasn't shown as much as Jamara.
Yeah, but there would be teams out there. We talked about Jamara, and you're paying for what you see now, but what you hope to see maybe in 12 months or 2 years if you were going after him, which is great news for the Bulldogs. That's not going to happen in the short term. Mm. What about Logan McDonald? How do you view him?
I'm pretty bullish on him. The boys think he's one of my love child, but I'm bullish on him. I think he's going to grow in the absence of Buddy. I think there were times when he played games. I might be jaundiced by a game he played against Melbourne at the MCG when Buddy pulled out and he kicked 3 or 4 goals, played a ripping game. Now, the game he played on the weekend was really good as well. He got, you know, a few Joe the Gooses over the back. I asked him, we interviewed him post-game, I asked him, I said, you're out of contract, Melbourne are looking for a big key forward, and he just sort of laughed and said, I'm just going to leave that all up to my manager. So he just batted that one away. He'll be, is he West Australian? I think the West Australian sides will be all over him. All over him, Wisp.
Oh, apparently they are. They are already. And Isaac Henny was on the program last night. Do you keep him in? This is he played.
Was he on your program?
Yeah, he did the old look. I'll play where the horse wants me to play.
Of course he will.
Thing, right? Okay, but he has given that midfield another edge because of the way he plays. Mm. That even if you had Mills, Parker, and Adams available, I would still have him, having watched him the first two games, I would still have him in the midfield ahead of those three guys. So what do you do when those three are available on your horse?
From the outside looking in, I would be going with Grundy, Parker, Heaney and Eric.
Right.
Your mate.
And you can put one more in there.
No, I don't. That's four. How many can you have in the centre?
Sorry. Yeah, that's four. You're quite right.
Eric might slide out to a wing. Therefore, one of those other goes in there.
Mills, good problem to have.
It's a great problem to have. Parker can kick goals, so he can go forward and spend more time forward. And Mills, we know, can play anywhere. He can go and play half back if he needed to. So, yeah, it's a beautiful problem.
Horse has been pretty adamant, I think, about the fact that he sees this bloke, Heaney, as a forward, like more of a 70% forward and a 30% midfielder as opposed to the other way around.
Yeah.
I wonder whether he's changed his mind, though, deep down.
Don't know. I don't know, but it's a good point. It's a good question. John from Launceston wants to know if T-Dollar and G-Money have been commissioned. This is a very good question to write the Tassie Devils theme song.
One word. Stay tuned. It's a hyphen.
Stay tuned. Next week, could we have a bit of T-Dollar and G-Money making their 2024 debut on the Tasmanian Devils theme song? Have you had that confirmed?
I'm promising that will be next Thursday morning.
Wow.
That particular person, John, has jumped the gun. The announcement was going to be...
He had an inside word.
The announcement was going to be over the weekend, but now that you've jumped the gun, I can advertise the fact that that song will be launched here next Thursday morning.
By T-Dollar and G-Money or just T-Dollar?
Both.
Wow. That is a story and a half. I look forward to that. David Schwartz, the Ox, great SEN man, is calling back the footy this week. He's back calling the footy with SEN. He's going to be doing the Melbourne Hawthorn game on Saturday and Richmond and Port on Sunday. That is great news, Ox. Welcome back, my friend. And everyone's going to be thrilled to be able to hear the Ox back on SEN.
And I'll respond to this when we come back too. David, Gary, can you ask Tim about the pretend conversation and fake laughing that he does with Trent Cotchin in the background at the start of Talking Football? Happy to respond to that when we come back.
A couple of King Pro...
Don't go too early.
There's a little track.
Do not go too early.
Now, what was this fake laughing you're doing? It's come through twice now.
Oh, no, there's just a little bit of Academy-style acting. Obviously, there are things that are going on in the foreground, and then they need a little bit of background... fluff, and we provide that, and we just have a little bit of a chat in the background there. Sometimes it gets seen, sometimes it doesn't. Hey, Rabbit Hole was great. Charnel, she's a breath
she's
of fresh air. Get her on every week, Gary.
Kind of great, and my voice is trailing off, says the snake. That's because I just stand, I back off and let the Wisp go at it. I'll try and be a bit more assertive for you, snake. No, big snake. Cobra monk. That means he reckons that means big snake.
Do yourself a favour.
I said the centre bounce I'd go with. I said Parker there. I meant Warner.
Yeah, said Parker. You meant Warner.
So Grundy, Warner,
I know you did.
Heaney and Eric.
Yep.
Who we know is Errol, but Tim called him Eric by mistake.
Eric Gould. So he plays for the Sydney Swans.
So we're going to call him Eric.
Hey, that is a fantastic four in the bounce, isn't it?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And Eric will probably go back out to the wing. And so Parker and Mills and Taylor Adams is the other one that will come in. But it's not a bad starting quartet.
Have you noticed the new kick that's in vogue in AFL football?
The James Sicily? The kick you have when you're not having
a
kick?
No, that's not a kick.
Oh.
No, the kick, the Eric Goulden one, which is the best example that I've seen maybe in the first two rounds of football this year that we've watched. The one that he kicked to Chad Warner early in the game. The one between the lines. You know how the
team...
Yeah,
the drop-in.
Yeah, it's a drop-in kick.
The drop-in.
I like that. Have you noticed that? That's become...
No, I've already gone.
I was talking to the boys about this last night. They said that the
into a hole.
Into a hole, right? Everyone zones up, right? And they were saying how the coach... They were trying to kick it a few years ago and the coaches said, no, put it away because it was leading to too many turnovers. But now, obviously, some clubs with their most skillful players have gone to work over the summer months and they've started to put it back into
you know why it's
the
important?
Kit.
You know why the drop-in's important? Because the zone defences.
Exactly.
So you
that's a hard kick. That is,
well,
that
is
a super, super hard kick to pull and make. It's a hard kick.
Full stop.
Yeah, it's a hard kick. That's a hard kick.
No, it is. Would the whisper, you were better.
Because you've got to have a great sense. I wouldn't have been able to kick this one. You've got to have a great sense of depth.
Oh, you would have.
No, I wouldn't have.
Yes, you would.
No, I wasn't.
You would have jumped over him. The Matildas Olympics have drawn Group B for the Paris Olympics. The Matilda Olympic team have drawn Group B. In Group B, USA, Germany, Australia, and either Zambia or Morocco. By jingoes, that sounds
is
like
that
a tough draw to me.
Well, the USA, yes.
USA historically very good.
Germany.
I would imagine Germany good. I don't know. So that's a tough draw for us. Ben's from Roeville. G'day, Benny.
Man and Tim, how are you, boys?
Good, Ben.
Hey, quick one. I just want to get your thoughts on where do you guys think John Noble's at? Like, 5 minutes ago, you guys were just talking about how if you're St Kilda, you're going to take the task, you know, that, to say, Pendles and Sidey try and run them on off their feet and stuff like that. If there's one attribute that John Noble has, is he can run. And when he came on the other week as a sub, you know, he showed a lot of good intent. You know, he was dropped, I think, for the prelims, obviously definitely for the granny last year. Do you think possibly that, if I know only two rounds in, like, would if he doesn't get a good run this year, would clubs be looking at him? Like, because I don't know why they wouldn't play him this week. Like, they've omitted him from what we saw last night.
Well, they prefer Markov now, clearly. They preferred him for the final month of footy last year.
Yeah, that's true.
He's been in early in the season. He's out again now. Markov stays in the side. Quainer, Moore, Maynard, Howe and Frampton are the back six.
To Ben's point, he played 83 consecutive games.
Yeah.
83 until he got dropped. But Tim's absolutely right. It's come down to the decision between the two, Benny, at the moment. He's got to try and fight and do what Oleg Markov did, and that was work his way into the senior side and not let it go. So he's in the best 25. Whether he can get into the best 23 is going to be a challenge. We'll take a break. Just lighten things up a bit. Georgie Samios, and don't forget Travis Boak ahead of game number 350. And out of 8 o'clock, Stevie Baker, the former Saints midfielder, in the studio.
I had the best takeaway meal I've ever had in my life. And I'm going to tell you all about it when we come back. If that doesn't get you excited, nothing will.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. The wonderful world of wine.
I'm going to get to George in just a moment. Let's take Greg from Healesville. G'day, Greg.
Good morning.
What do you got for us?
Hey, just quickie. Sorry, guys. This is going to sound pretty trivial. But why was the Tassie Devils called the Tassie Devils when every other club in the league's been named after a town and they're named after a state?
Well, because there was originally, however, 12 teams in Victoria, so that was never going to be the Victorian anythings. There's a couple of teams in West Australia, a couple of teams in South Australia, so I think we acknowledge that there will only ever be one team coming out of Tasmania. So it's a whole state approach. It's got to be a unifying thing down there, Greg. We hope for footy in the state of Tassie, and I don't think too many people are going to have an issue with it. But an interesting observation. Georgie Samios on location today, not in the studio. I think he's out down at his beloved Barossa Valley, I think.
I think he's preparing for Gather Round in a couple of weeks' time. Good morning to you, George.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning, Gaz. Yes, been here finalising things, actually, with the local police and the council, how they're going to close the roads to make sure that the Wisp has a nice, easy passage through the crowds.
Well, that would be a sweet change from last year of what I had to buffet my way through last year.
Got big numbers coming in for the Saltram Wisp special?
Yeah, we've just opened up actually a few more tickets. So if anyone wants to jump on the Saltram website, they can still get in. We've managed to open it up a bit more. But it is actually pretty well capacity. But it's probably a handful of tickets if anyone wants to jump on this morning. But it's looking good. Good lineup of wines. We're releasing actually the 2018 Saltram number one. For those that follow those wines, this could well be one of the best wines Saltram has ever made. We're releasing it that day.
Am I sharing the stage with Bucks? Is that what I'm hearing?
No, Bucks is coming as a guest. He's just sitting in the crowd. He wants to see you in action. And he said he doesn't want the Vanda story again. But he's coming up as a guest, actually, just to enjoy the hospitality.
Okay. How's the Barossa looking? Have they all done their picking there at the moment?
They're just finishing up. Been a good vintage from the guys I spoke to yesterday. Yeah, they've had good volumes. The colours have looked good, which is always the key for the guys with the red wine. There's still a bit of fruit coming through, but everyone's pretty buoyant, actually.
That's great news. Now, George, I just mentioned before, I think you can eat there, but I had it as a takeaway yesterday. The best takeaway meal I've ever had. It's in Albert
Park.
Fried
dimmies?
It's a Japanese restaurant, Moonfish. I've spoken about it before. I had this thing, fried spicy zucchini. Ugh. It was on a bed of rice. Rice, some broad bean, some artichoke, tomato, avo, corn off the cob sliced up, lettuce, and a little bit of a dressing. It was absolutely magnificent.
Like, what, is it like a fritter?
No, it was in a bowl, so it was like a salad bowl. And it was
a poke bowl.
Like a poke bowl. Unbelievable. What type of a wine do you think I should have washed that down with yesterday? I didn't have a glass of wine with it, but what would you suggest? With a bit of spice?
Yeah, a bit of spice, but I probably would have gone a white wine, actually. I probably maybe would have gone a Gewürztraminer, which handles spicy food quite well, or maybe even your beloved Fiano or something like a Vermentino. Maybe a white wine with no oak, but with texture.
Sounds nice. I had a nice three fried dim sims the other day. They were beautiful. What would I have with that?
Well, probably you, Gaz. It would be Grenache, and Grenache.
Exactly right. What's going on with China? They stopped exporting or importing our wines. Is that all getting sorted out?
Well, it looks like it. You know, the Chinese foreign minister's in town for the first time, I think, in 5 or 6 years, and the speculation is that they're probably going to announce it this weekend, that the tariffs, which are currently about 160%, will either be reduced or removed. So that's great news for the Australian wine industry because it's having a bit of a tough time at the moment, and not just because of the tariffs. There's lots of other global macro trends that are sort of going against wine at the moment. But it certainly will help if China, which is the biggest market in the world, let's be frank, start to enjoy Australian wine again because the people there want to. So we're all looking forward to that announcement.
Hey, what will we be eating when we come over there to the Barossa Valley there with you at Saltram's as well? I liked what you had. I like what we had last time, but have we taken it up a notch or are we going to do something similar?
Well, it's a similar Barossa feast. We are using the smoker that our mate Tony from Steelscraft down the road. So the guys, I think brisket will be back.
Brisket.
On. Done a little
bit. The brisket was amazing.
Some ribs.
Yeah, yes.
Tommy wants to know where you can buy tickets. Is there any tickets still available for this massive?
Yeah, there are. Get on the Saltram Wines website, Saltram. So Saltram Wines in the Barossa Valley. Nice. What else is on the menu, Tim? Oh, there's some surprises coming off the smoker.
Right.
Some great wines.
What about Jesse says there's a company, Fine Food, storing wine under the ocean. What's the purpose of this? That's from the Jess Meister.
What?
There's a bit of a movement at the moment. People are doing it. It's sort of inspired by some old shipwrecks, including one that was found off the coast of Western Australia, where wine's been underground or underwater for, you know, 50, 60, 80 years. And because of the pressure and the coolness, the wine almost goes into a freeze state but doesn't actually go off. And it slows the maturation. So there's some winemakers around the world that are experimenting by putting wine underground, in the water, underground, and leaving it there for 10, 20 years to see what it's like when they pull it out.
Wow. Okay. Guess who emceed the big function at the MCG pre-game last weekend, Gary?
Oh, don't tell me.
I looked out, and there he was in all his glory.
The 84 premiership.
Yes,
function.
Who do you reckon they reeled into MC that?
Did you do that, George?
Well, it wasn't the official 84, but it was the president's function, and the whisk was there, sort of hiding in the corner. He didn't want to get dragged up on stage. No, it was a good day. Great day. The boys played well. The 84 guys were all in good spirits. There were some good stories, and yeah, great weekend for Bombers supporters.
Put a little invoice in for that, do we, or not?
Well, you can invoice me for whatever you like. I probably won't pay it.
No, I said, did you put an invoice in for it?
No, mate. All voluntary.
Oh, bulldust.
Hey, Tim, your audience doesn't eat the pretentious crap you do. That sounded like punishment.
For that person, you go for the dim sims that I was telling you.
Hey, less than $20 that I mentioned before. Hey, George, when I go out on, I'm taking photos of labels and tracking down the wines, I've noticed over
this bloke sends this every week.
A lot of the labels are not to be found anywhere on the net at all. Would restaurants, bars be rebadging clean skins of their own label wine? That's what Clinton wants to know this morning. You can't do that.
Well, you can buy a clean skin and turn it into a branded product if you want, as long as you've got the mandatories, alcohol level and standard drinks, things like that. There's a lot of wines that are getting made by small wineries that don't really see retail. They might only be selling them to a handful of restaurants or mates. So there is a bit of that. But, you know, in the end, that's why I say to people, just keep going back to wineries. They have been around for a while, that exist. You know that they can do it because they've been doing it for a long time.
What's our recommendations for this week, Georgie? Because I've got the pen ready here.
Well, it's got to be a Barossa wine because I'm in the Barossa, and I actually tried this wine again yesterday down at the pub, actually.
I bet you did.
Yeah. The producer is called Cirillo, C-I-R-I-L-L-O. It's a single vineyard Shiraz from the Barossa. It's going to be in the high 20s, so 28, 29. But, Gaz, it is seriously worth it. Cirillo actually owns the oldest Grenache and the oldest Semillon vineyards in the world, right here in the Barossa Valley. But this Shiraz is super good value. Cirillo single vineyard Shiraz.
I will go out and source that. I source every one of George's recommendations.
Hey, what are the names of the brothers down the road from where you are now that have that special plot of vines? What are the Shiraz vines, are they?
Yeah, the Schutzes. Yeah,
the Schutzes,
We'll be drinking their wine again at the Gather Around Lunch, the 2017 The Journal Centenarian. Vineyard planted in 1903. Because the Barossa has got some of the oldest vines in the world. It's amazing.
How old are they, the brothers, are in their 80s?
140.
90s?
No, the brothers themselves, I reckon, are in the 50s and 60s. It was obviously their parents that planted the vineyard.
But, okay.
Yeah.
Did they marry...
We're gonna try to get them in.
Did the brothers marry sisters and they all live together in the same house? Did I get that story right?
They didn't marry sisters, but they still live on the same property. You make up stories.
Georgie, well done. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
He's moving to the Wednesday time slot next week, Georgie boy. Yeah, in the Kogan Mobile studio, where Kogan Mobile's got you covered. 120 gigs, $120 across 12 months. Kogan.com. Stevie Baker is coming into the studio out of 8 o'clock. The little fireball.
Where is he?
He'll be in after 8.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Stevie Baker's on his way in. He's going to be in the studio out of 8 o'clock. It's pronounced Cirillo. C-I-R-I-L-L-O. Cirillo. Big soupy Grenache as well, I'm told. So the Shiraz is 28 to 29, but they make a great Grenache. And Jane says, that sounds delicious. Tim, which restaurant in Albert Park was it, please?
It's Moonfish. It's just a little takeaway place, but you can sit inside and you can sit outside too.
Japanese?
It's Japanese. The spicy fried zucchini it is.
The teriyaki
it's a
chicken?
Special. They can do it. They do all that. That's all right. That and more.
You've
got to line up to get in. It's a very, very popular joint.
Well, Jane's going to wander down and take up your recommendation. I'm looking forward to you catching up with one of your former Chargers.
Oh, one of my old mates. One of my favourites.
Saints and Collingwood tonight.
Not supposed to have favourites when you coach.
Stevie Baker's in the studio.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Hey, great to have you with us on this Thursday. Massive game, MCG, St Kilda Collingwood tonight. It's Spud's game, so there's meaning in it as well. I think you're going to enjoy this chat we're about to have, because what we'll try and do each Thursday is get a former great of one of the teams that's playing that evening in the studio, just to tell his story, the connection that remains still with their club. And we've done well today, because Tim's just, he's got his old Rolodex out. He's gone, this bloke was one of my all-time favourites. 203 games with the Saints. Stevie Baker is in the studio with us, and it's a great thrill to have him. How are you, mate?
Hey, good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Nice
excited
to see
to be
you.
Here. Yeah. It's been a while.
It is great to see you, but our careers together didn't start particularly well, did they?
I knew you'd bring this one up. No, it wasn't the greatest. I think.
How many training sessions was it into your career at St Kilda?
The very first. I got mixed up with some
first training session.
Some very bad men. It was
who were they?
Barry Hall, Austin Jones. They took the new guy under the wing.
Yep, the kid from country.
Yeah,
kid from Colac.
Didn't take too much for the arm twisting. I think it was fireball and a few other drinks. And so it was a late night, and we had training. I'm pretty sure it was 7 a.m. and I woke up in a pool of wetness.
Sweat.
But that turned out it was Barry threw a bucket of water on me at 7 a.m., couldn't wake me up. And so it was 11 a.m. when I woke up, and I literally lived 1 minute walk from the club, so I didn't have any excuse. And
so your very first training session under the great Tim Watson, who was the coach and mentor at the moment, and you just couldn't quite get there.
So it was a very rusty start, and I think the fitness guy put me through 4 hours of the hardest, grueling gut surgery. And I was throwing up in the bin in the club, and I remember walking home. It took me about 10 minutes to walk home that 1 minute, and the fitness guy said, "Tim doesn't want to talk to you until Monday. Don't reach out." And I was like, so I'm all weekend just shit myself. Saturday, Sunday, thinking I've got to go to training Monday. The coach hates me, and all training Monday, Tim wouldn't look at me. And then we got called in at the end, and Tim looked at Barry and Austin and said, you guys are going to play in the twos this year, and Baker, you effing idiot. You were on the first train back to Colac, and get an effing haircut, because I had the undercut and the ponytail at the time. So the next day I rocked up with a skinhead, and I was in the front row with my legs crossed. I was trying to get back in the good books. So it was a very rusty beginning to my
What did you see in this young man? I know you talk about him often to me, and you unashamedly say he's one of your favourites. What did you see in him that just resonated with you?
I watched you weren't one of the kids that was sort of high on the radar of all the clubs, and you'd be the first to admit that.
Yeah.
But I watched him play, and he hunted the ball, and he had nice soft hands. I remember talking to Johnny Beveridge about him and saying, you know, what's this kid like? He said, oh, no, he's good. He's a good kid. You know, all that type of thing. He's played a lot of basketball, which he did as a kid.
Yep.
And we just saw something in him that we liked. You know, he had a real crack, and he was an inside type player. And I think he played a lot as a run with type player as a junior as well.
Yeah, that's right. So I didn't really think I was going to get into the Falcons. I got told, you know, you probably won't make it. Your skills aren't that good. Sort of scraped into the Falcons and sat on the bench all year. And then it wasn't until a couple of games before the finals, the coach Brian Cordy said, "Look, Bakes, we can't put you in because you're a bit of a detrimental to the team because you can't really kick. You're kicking them at all the footies out in the bounds on the full." He goes, "But can you stop someone?" And I remember I said, "Yeah." He goes, "I'll give you the game ball if you can stop this kid." And this kid was averaging 40 possessions a game. And I thought, "Shit, free ball. Can't afford a ball." And this kid, yeah, I think he walked off with a broken nose, many a corky, and had two or three touches. And then my run with career was born. I think Johnny Beveridge, the Saints recruiter, was in the stands probably watching the guy that I was playing on. But I just had one of those games in the grand final where the ball was bouncing my way. Every time my opponent got the ball, it was just bang, hit him perfectly. And I had the undercut and the ponytail. So I think, Johnny,
you stood
yourself, Johnny and yourself might have just saw him. I remember draft day, I wasn't obviously planning any drafted, but my brother had a few mates out there, and I was hungover, asleep on the couch, and just heard an eruption out in the kitchen. I, what the shit's going on here? Looked up and I saw my name on the screen, thinking, and it flashed off. I didn't see where I was going or anything, and all my mates came and jumped on me, and I'm going, what am I, where am I going? He goes, you're a saint. And I still thought I was dreaming, and then all of a sudden you're on the phone.
Yeah,
I'm going, who's this wanker bloody giving me? pretending to be Tim Watson, and it all happened so fast, and it was...
What number was it? What number were you taking?
27 or 29?
Yeah, reasonably early.
Yeah, it was, like, ridiculous. And I was sleeping. I thought, I'll wake me up when it's pick 9. I don't know how many pick 9. I said, wake me up when it's pick 90. They might, I might scrape in, because Johnny Beveridge had come down and met Mum and Dad, which I thought, I might scrape into the last pick if they can't find someone else.
What a great
story. Love it. You love tagging people, but I do believe this happened after me, but...
I loved it. That's all I could
do. No, but that's what you did. I'm not sure about your attention to detail as to who you were tagging, because I've heard this story about you going into the centre against the Western Bulldogs, and you'd been told that you'd be tagging Boyd, and then you actually went to cross instead of Boyd. Is that right?
I think there was two stories. There was the Browns. I got mixed up one time, and I studied the wrong person all week. I'm like, well, this is a bit weird. I'm going to be playing fullback. So I can't remember. And that was another year, cross, and that was a Milnie time. I said, that's right, because I was in the middle, and Lenny gave me a bit of a nudge. That's him over there. Oh, shit. All right. Yep. So, I mean, there was a few times, so I wasn't really known for knowing my footy players. I'd always just have that one person. So, and I never really was a footy fan. I did love my basketball, and I think my brother Mick got me to footy when I was about 15. So that's why I was sort of pretty raw with the skills. And after getting ejected from a few basketball stadiums, probably footy was more suited to me.
There's no more nervous man right now than Coxie, our button pusher out there. He's got his finger hovering on the gun.
No. Was it swearing? Or
no, you're right. Yeah,
you can maybe just tone it down just a little bit.
Sorry,
No, don't tone it down.
Only one notch. Just tell Gary about the first footy trip you went away. I think it was Miami, was it? Where did you go fishing?
Cancun?
No, it was Mexico. Cancun. So,
Mexico.
Okay, you pick up the story now because you went fishing.
I went fishing and, I loved my fishing, and I was got into a big barracuda. It took me about half an hour to wind in, and all the guys on the boat were like, you've got to get this, stuffed. You've got to get it stuffed and get it sent back. And it only costs you, $150. That's always $150 Australian. What are we talking here? I agreed to it, signed the paperwork. Yeah, I think I gave him a credit card, and then it got to $600. So $1,600. I get back to Melbourne, it's $3,000. And then they sent me back this little little toadfish looking thing, little plastic. We've still got it, just for sort of comic value, but it's on the shed wall at my brother's house. But I think it cost me like $6,000 to mount a mullet.
Hey, I'm loving this. Our audience is loving it. It's great. You're into horses too, aren't you? You got a share in the astrologist?
Yeah, we've got the astrologist, we've got Zoo Dancer, Zoo Sensation.
My
brother's a horse. We've got the South Colac Punting Club on the line now. They message saying, give us a shout out. So South
Colac, good
horses. So we don't do too well on the pump, but it's good. It's good fun. Astrologist has given us a great lot of joy. A lot of the horses give you a lot of misery as well, but that's great to get a bunch of fellas and just have a crack.
We'll keep reminiscing like this, but we're going to get to what you're doing now, which is so relevant given it's Spuds games tonight and the focus is on mental health, and you've got a really good story to tell and share with us, and you're doing some great work in that space. But what's your connection? I don't know why, but the St Kilda boys I've got to know really well over time because of work. Nick and Joey and Nicky Dell. There's a whole heap that comes through. BJ was there. They all speak so highly of you. Like
they love him.
When we reminisce about war stories, your name comes up a lot. What's your connection these days to the Saints? Are you just a fan, or how close are you to it?
Still a fan. I sort of drift away from footy when I finish, but still love catching up with the boys. We make sure we catch up. Definitely, when it was a prelim, we catch up every year. Rossi comes down, we have a few drinks, but still see all the boys. Went down there a couple of weeks ago, and it was just weird seeing Lenny and BJ out in the ground. And Cozzy was hanging around, Joey. Cozzy was working down at the Danny Frawley Centre. So it was a weird vibe down there. I don't get down there a lot. Obviously, it's a little drive there. But, I still love the vibe of the club. And I think, this year's they're having a cracker.
So are you based in Melbourne, or are you back?
Yeah, in St Kilda, now, yeah.
Sure.
And just tell us about the work you're doing and your story post-career, because that's how I've sort of reconnected with you. I saw some stuff that you'd been posting. I thought, this is fantastic. I had a little look at it and thought, this can't be the Stevie Baker I know. He can't be out there presenting stuff like this.
So basically I went through a bit of a tough time. Lost my good mate Warnie just over a couple of years ago now,
So I know that you and Shane were like great mates, best mates, and you spent an enormous amount of time with him. So we all got hit hard, you know, by his passing, but for you it must have been terribly confronting.
Yeah, it was very, it was just sort of probably my life was at the most exciting it's been. I lost the old man over a decade ago now, and I remember the sort of tough time went through back then, and you know, to have those sort of feelings come back, and I think my life was at a point where it was just, you know, being mates with Warnie was very exciting, sort of waking up, you know, oh, we're going to Queensland for a month, or we're going on a golf trip, we're going, you know, I think we had three trips booked the year that he passed away, so it was...
So you were his entourage, were you?
Yeah, I think it was my job, go away and have a good time and have a laugh. And
what
it was
a life.
Just, yeah, it was just a great... just a great setup, and sort of wake up and to lose him was just like all taken away, and someone that you spend nearly every day with, and it was brought back the feelings of sort of losing my old man, and so I sort of had 6 or 12 months where I was just in a bit of a hole. I didn't want to go out anywhere, didn't want to see my friends, I didn't want to pick up my phone. Yeah, I was.
You were depressed, yeah.
Yeah, I was depressed, taking sleep. I was waking up some days and just wanting to take sleeping tablets to go back to sleep, and yeah, I was in a bit of a pity party. And you know, it was the first New Year's I hadn't spent with him for probably over a decade as well. And I spent that New Year's with Jackson and his friends. It was great. But I remember 12 o'clock, I was over and, you know, having a cry in the corner, and Jackson came over and gave me a hug. And sort of driving back the next day, I remember going to my car, had a flat tire, and I was driving back thinking, oh, I don't care if I run off the road here. But I didn't have the dark thoughts that bad. But then just before I got home, I was just thinking how inspiring he'd been to his family. And I was thinking, if Shane looked down at me and what I was doing with my life, not having fun, not having the banter I have with my friends.
Living life.
Yeah, so it's a bit of a light bulb moment. So I started clicking out of it. I surrounded myself with good people, Matty Ferguson, a good mate of mine. He goes, let's go for a run. And I was like, I'd had a hip replacement. And so I was really sort of, you know, down in the dumps, my own pity party. I sort of look back now. So started surrounding myself with good people, getting back into the fitness, started running again. You know, I signed up for an Ironman, which I completed the end of last year. So I've just found telling my story about being sort of going through depression and getting it off my chest was not only good for me, but hearing other people, like everyone's going through their own shit.
Sure.
Every time I do a presentation, I hear a story that, holy crap, is that person. Even a mate last night I spoke to, he said he was thinking about suicide, you know, only last year, which I would never have known. So it's bringing, I don't know, being the tough man of footy, or one of the tough men of footy, you know, being it's okay to speak up, even if you're tough. You know, we all go through shit, and sort of inspiring others to speak up as well. So it's sort of been a bit of an eye-opener and a great journey.
So the story is so familiar, yet to hear it from you and to tell it in the way that you have, it's going to help a lot of people listening. Like, already we can see that. It's called True Grit, so...
Bill Grit.
Oh, sorry, Bill Grit.
BillGrit.com.au.
True Grit's a movie, I think.
There you go, then. Hey!
BillGrit.com.au. So... But this is your business, or this is what you're doing now. You go out and talk, do presentations and talk?
It started, I didn't have the business in mind, but I had a friend, Scott, who he got me to speak at a shelter down in Frankston. There's a lot of homeless people there. And just the vibe I got there, you know, I was crying on stage. And I'm not a good public speaker, but I'm very raw. And
you're authentic, mate. That's what you are.
And yeah, so I sort of broke down a bit, and people, but the amount of support I got after the talk, you know, I got people messaging me saying, look, I've been depressed for, you know, I went for my first walk this morning. It sort of inspired me to do more. So then I got, you know, a few referrals from that talk, and then I did a few footy clubs. But even at footy clubs, like, I'm usually the funny banter guy, but speaking, you know, a bit of the mental health stuff as well, it's brought out a lot of things from footy clubs that, you know, everyone's struggling. So
stay there, mate. It's fantastic to hear your people and our audience. We got this text machine which is just ticking over here, and they're loving how true and authentic you are. And it's Spud's game tonight. We understand.
Come on,
you know what it's all about, and stepping up and being brave enough to talk and tell your story is so important. BillGrit.com.au. Couldn't think of anyone better to come out and have a chat with you. Those that are struggling, there's Lifeline as well. 1-3-11-14. We'll take a break. Come back with Stevie Baker.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
Stevie Baker's in the studio with us ahead of the Saints and the Collingwood game tonight. It's the Spuds game. It's raising awareness for mental health. And I doubt whether we could have got a better guest in here. It's taken me a bit by surprise. I wasn't aware of the story. Stevie, Bill Grid is your Well, it's now your business, buildgrit.com.au. Just some of the messages for you, mate, just so you understand the impact. Well, hated the little man when he tagged my hooks, but by God, what a lesson in don't judge a book by its cover. What an amazing interview, an amazing man. Thank you, Bakes. Tears rolling down my face. I went through my own mental health struggles. So refreshing to hear Stevie speak openly and genuinely about his own journey. There is no shame. P.S. He was a bit of a dirty player.
That's true.
So that
all
is coming
that is, All that is right, boys. Just want to say how great it is to hear Stephen Baker tell his amazing life stories. What a national treasure he is. I bet you never thought you'd be national referred treasure, to as a national treasure.
That's a bit over the top, that one.
Absolutely loving his morning stuff this morning. That's from Brent.
Sitting in my car completely broken listening to Stevie. I'm glad he found his light at the end. So the good news for you, and it's, you never presume that you're absolutely through it. I mean, I imagine you still have your moments and you've got to have some coping mechanisms in place. I guess this is what Build Grit is all about.
No, definitely. I'll still have my weeks, even months, where I'm still feeling flat. And I've got like a talk coming up. And you know, recently I've done some at schools, which has really sparked some. I love working with kids. And so that's been another thing that I've been enjoying doing. But yeah, you're still going to have your shit times no matter what. But it's about sort of learning what helps you when you're in those bad times and going back to that. So when I lost my old man, I remember feeling down, but then I was used sort of fitness and being around good people. I thought, oh, hey, I've got to do that again. I've got to start surrounding myself with people that are inspiring and people you want to be around and people that make you happy, and then get back into my fitness, which I thought was over. But
that's a good lesson in that, though, isn't it? Like, is to be able to have something that you can go to every day. It might just be a walk or it might be a run, and then it becomes something a little bit more that you can be obsessive about in a good way.
Yeah, that's the thing. And at the end of the presentation, I'll give some giveaways that they can use themselves. So I call it my grit strategies, but you've got to go to talk to find out what they are. No, you won't.
do you reckon for the first time in your life since your post-football career, you've got everything in order? Do you feel that confident about where you're at right now?
I definitely haven't got everything in order, but I've got a start and I've got something that I get out of bed for with a bit of passion. I think that's the big thing that I've lacked over the last couple of years, getting out of bed. I used to get out of bed with excitement. Now it's like I didn't have anything, a purpose, I suppose. Now I sort of get up, I've got a purpose. At least I've got a starting line.
Yep.
And I think a lot of people, if they don't have something they're aiming for, if you're not doing something that's challenging, life can get a little bit boring. So that's the sort of big lessons of grit. Grit is gratitude, resilience, inspiration, and team. So I have those things. I've got little lessons on each of those that people can turn to when they're feeling bad, not the S word.
And how often do you draw on what you learnt in footy too? Say from Tomo. I know you had a good relationship with him when Grant was the coach at St Kilda and Rossi and the time you spent in the game. How often do you draw on those lessons that you learned inside there?
Yeah, one of the main lessons in the grit is effort beats talent. So it doesn't matter how much talent you got, if you haven't got effort to go along with it, you're not going to go anywhere. So I think my story of just always giving 100% effort, I go back to my school days. I was always the shortest kid in class, but always give 100% effort. I bring up my old report cards. It was A for effort, but I was always an average student. So the message of always giving 100% effort, there's no guarantees in life, but if you do that, you're gonna have the most chance of reaching your full potential.
Now, we're coming up to 8:30, so and we've got Trav Boak coming up as well, so it'd be great to chat with him. Just before you go, Steve, the game today is different to when you played. It's different to when we played, and it's a good thing. It's getting cleaner and cleaner. But back then, you and Stevie used to go at it pretty regularly, and you got end up. Was it 9 weeks?
Yeah, 9 weeks. It was four suspensions in one game. But I remember Stevie gave me the biggest elbow in the back because he'd broken his hand that game. And the story was he talked to his doctor at three quarter time, and he said, "How many weeks am I going to get from losing my hand?" And then he said, "Oh, probably four." And then Stevie came out and gave me the biggest elbow of my life. So I love that story from Stevie. So he whacked me, got me four. And I said to Stevie, "Mate, I'll look after you at the tribunal, don't worry." And then I get, I think, 12 down to 9, and he only gets 3. So I'm like, shit, the old tribunal system's a bit stuffed up. They always
the retaliator.
Didn't look after poor Stevie.
Did you? And you knew he had a broken hand, so you kept punching it. That was the famous.
Well, there's footage of him whacking me a ripper in the first quarter in the head. He reckons it wasn't where he broke it, but I think it was because I heard a crack. And then he was rubbing it straight after punching me in the head. So that's why I thought, that's fair game. He broke his hand on my head, I'll break his hand more.
Hey, before we let you go, how can people reach you or contact you so that they can get you along to talk to them about all the stuff that we've been talking about this morning?
Yeah, so my Instagram, Stephen Baker, the number 10, and billgrit.com.au. That's where we'll have a bit of information on each of the talks, you know, the schools, the corporates, the footy clubs, got different ways we can go about it. So thanks a lot for giving us a shout out.
Hey, when you make some money, can you buy your mum a new pair of glasses so that she can spot a snake when it is a snake down by the dam?
Yeah, no. Well, Archie's have been great. They sent mum a free pair of thongs. So mum's actually classified as an influencer now. So thanks, Archie's, for sending the pair
of
thongs.
I don't know this story.
You tell Gary just quickly and everybody the story about your mum spotting a snake down by the dam.
I had a pair of Archie's, the thongs down next to the dam.
Big supporters of Archie's here.
Yeah, amazing business. And mum had the binoculars out the front, and she goes, "I think that's a snake by the dam, Steve." And I knew that my thongs. Mum, no, I didn't. But I walked down there, and mum was videotaping from about 40 metres away. So I pretended it was a snake I was going to pick up, and she yells out, Stephen! I was pretending to pick it up, and then I lifted up the thong, and then mum goes, "I effing hate you."
It was a pair of thongs.
And had 1 million views on Instagram, mum hating on her son. So that's I do all these inspirational things and get 1,000 likes. Yeah. Mum telling me to...
I'm just glad you said effing. Good on you, Stevie. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Billgrit.com.au is the place to go if you want to get in touch. Amazing story, and thanks for sharing it with us.
Thanks, Gary. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Bikes.
Questions without notice. For Aussies living life on the go, Signet phone accessories go the distance, keeping you connected and protected.
Hey, well done to you. I'd met Stevie, but I didn't know him. I didn't know the story. I didn't know the depth and how Shane's passing had impacted him, and it's going to help a lot of people. So we're going to do that every Thursday as best we possibly can, trying to get people in the studio that have been involved with the two teams is our challenge, and that's a magnificent way to start. It's an unbelievable story. And Build Grit is the place to go. I just want to give a shout out to Bailey Nelson. They're the new people who are just revolutionising the sunglass world.
I saw you with
a pair
of
sunnies. You got yourself a nice pair.
I like the ones that you put on this morning.
Well, you went with the Harvey Large mahogany because you've got a bit of in the tort. I went for the Harvey Large in black.
Can I just say, they look tickety-boo on you, they do.
Well, they look tickety-boo on anyone, Whispers.
You suit them like nobody I've ever seen wear a pair of sunglasses.
Going to next week's Thursday, it's the Lions and Collingwood. So we're going to try and get someone who was involved with either of those clubs. If you got a thought or a suggestion, you can send it through.
We'll track somebody down. Just on Stevie, though, too, on Bakes. And of all the players that I've come in contact with during my life, he would be probably right at the back in terms of somebody you'd expect to ever have the confidence and get up and be able to talk publicly. Mm-hmm. And that's an achievement in itself that he's been able to push himself to that degree and he said, look, I'm not completely comfortable, but I've seen a couple of things that he's put on Instagram and he's getting more and more comfortable. And you listen to him this morning, there's this authenticity about him when he speaks. There's a rawness, and I know he dropped some profanity from time to time and some people didn't like that, and we did try and correct him a couple of times, but we weren't totally successful.
He did pretty well. Authentic is the word. It's not how you say it, it's what you say.
He's real.
Yep, and we loved having him in. Travis Boak's real. He plays 350 games this weekend. He's one of our favourites. He's been on our program a lot over the journey, and he's made some, what is a very busy media day and weekend for him, he's made some time for us. He's going to join us on the other side.
Breakfast with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson.
There's lots to celebrate in this weekend's round of matches, but no greater celebration than for this man that we're about to speak to. He's a three-time All-Australian or two-time. We'll go with three. He's a Port Adelaide Games record holder. He's going to play game number 350, if you don't mind, this weekend. Great friend of the program here. Always makes time for us in what is an incredibly busy time. So we won't keep him too long, but we just wanted to say congratulations to Travis Boak. And well played, Boakie. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me on. Great to chat.
No, it is first time for the year. You've been great to us and with us over the journey. So we feel very invested in your 350. It's an amazing achievement. It's a credit to you, your preparation, how much time and effort. You've resisted the temptation to come back home to Victoria. You must have a great sense of fulfilment ahead of this big milestone.
Yeah, look, it's already been a pretty special week so far. And the club and Certainly, I had some family over early in the week, and I'll see them also in Melbourne. But the club organised a bit of a lunch yesterday, and a few of my old teammates came over and shared some words. And yeah, it's been a special few days already, but really looking forward to getting out there on the weekend. And hopefully this time I'll have a few family there. I think the 300th was in front of no one, so that'll be a little bit different, which will be nice. And hopefully we get the win as well.
That's right. The 300 was during COVID. You've been forced to reflect a lot, probably, because of so many times you've had to speak this week and people have been asking you questions. What sort of memories has that reflection brought up for you?
Well, honestly, a lot of positive ones. I think the one thing leading into my 300th game, I started to learn was that it's more about everyone else than yourself. And I think leading into the 300th, I was absolutely shitting myself, thinking like I can't do this. This is too much. It's all about me, kind of thing. And sat down with my performance coach at the time and said, mate, just make it about everyone else. It's everyone else who helped you get there. And that's been probably the most special thing is really reflecting on all the people that helped me along the journey, whether it's right back in the Torquay days to all the coaches and teammates and supporters I've had over the way. And that's kind of been the most special thing, sort of reflecting on.
If Travis Spoke, the 350 gamer, could sit down with Travis Spoke about to debut, what would be the best advice you could give him?
Look, I think the thing that I've learnt the most certainly over the last 4 or 5 years is to certainly separate what you do from who you are. I think that's definitely created a lot more freedom for myself. And I think, we've spoke about in the past that, so much tension goes into your performance when your identity is stuck to who you are as an athlete and that kind of affects performance a fair bit. And I've certainly enjoyed my footy so much more over the last 4 or 5 years because of that, and I can just go out there and play and has no reflection on who I am as a person.
Do you reckon you have to reach an age of maturity before you can even think like you've just explained then? I mean, for you to sit down, say, later today and talk to one of the 20, 21-year-old young players whose head's probably somewhere else, do you think that they get that part of it yet?
Look, I think it definitely takes a little bit of time, and but there's also, if we can help them educate that and they can sort of listen to people sort of explain that over what they've learned, share stories, I think that certainly helps. And hopefully, a lot of our young guys that I've kind of tried to speak to about it all are beginning to understand that. And the earlier you sort of learn those things, hopefully it helps a lot quicker and you can have a better career. But there's no doubt that maturity comes over time, and certainly as a young fella you just want to get out there and play footy, so there's definitely a different mentality when you first come into the league.
And the approach from the coach has changed over time too, from when you started to the type of coaching that you're experiencing now. Do you think that's for the better?
Look, I think it is. I think, well, times have sort of changed as well in terms of society and how younger kids are coming in to play football these days. And I think it's a good thing how the coaches have been able to adapt with that. I think what we see now with a lot of senior coaches is being able to manage people. And certainly, Kenny's the same, and the best coaches get the best out of the young players because they know who they are and how they respond and how they speak to them. And that's kind of the best way to do it. Where I think a little bit earlier on in my career, it was everything was always just sort of whack between the eyes and this is how you got to do it. And that worked at the time. And I think that's sort of progressed as we've got older. And certainly now it's about managing different personalities and making sure everyone belongs and it's okay to be them within a footy environment.
This is from one of our listeners, Aaron. He wants to know, and I do too, I know it's a Dorothy Dixon, but you've been there now for 350 games. You've played against some of the all-timers. Who's the toughest you've come up against?
In terms of being sort of tagged, I actually spoke to Ryan Crowley last night, and I said some of my greatest memories were playing against him in terms of the battles that I had. I reckon there was a period, maybe 2014, 2015, that we played Frio three times in four games over some finals in round one, and I had him for that period of time, and it was a quite a challenging little period playing on him. He was always a hard man to get away from, but those battles were really good, and they certainly made me a better footballer. So he was certainly one, and then obviously Gaz and Chris Judd's another one to sort of line up against. Were always hard to get the footy on.
And what about if blokes you've played alongside in terms of who have you marvelled at? Who's been one of the players that you've admired the most in a Port Adelaide jumper?
Yeah, that one's probably a little bit easier answer for me, and I'm a little bit biased, but Robbie Gray's always been, my favourite Port Adelaide player for sure. Absolutely marvelled at what he's been able to do in his career, and some of the games we played where I think it was a showdown, he kicked 4 or 5 goals in a quarter, like just turned the game on its head, and he could basically bounce the footy like it was a basketball and just pull out goals that you think that were impossible. So he's certainly one that I think has been my favourite player to play with. And then modern day now, Zach and Jason, Owen Francis, Ollie Wines are certainly up there as well.
Just before we let you go, the great way, I'm not sure if this is your last season, but the great way to go out about the game would be to win a flag. With your recruiting, you've targeted guys and they all look like they're going to fit in nicely there. Do you think you've got a better combination now to make an assault on the flag than what you had even last year?
Yeah, I think we do, for sure. I think we looked at the areas of probably concern and where we're lacking in a sense, and that was part of our defence and our height in our back six, and we've been able to add that and certainly add Soldo into our midfield mix in the ruck as well. And he had a great start on the weekend. And I think we're just more settled around the field. And now it's about implementing all that. And obviously injuries and a bit of luck come into play as well. But I think we're more settled in terms of, our structure and our game plans. Very similar. But I just think, around the ground, we're certainly way more settled in positions, and we'll have a crack at it and hopefully we can get right to the end.
Mate, well done from all of us here at SEN and the broader footy community. You play for lots of things, but respect at the foremost, and there are few in your time more respected. So congratulations and have a great year.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you very much.
Good Trevor spoke there out of game number 350. Our footy nuff out there, Brooke, went straight to the stats sheet when he played Ryan Crowley. 22-16 and then 25 touches he had against Crowley. Responded well. Round one, 25, 5 tackles and a goal. That's from Brooke. He just had nothing else to do than just to dial them up.
He didn't even have to look that up. He just
off the took top straight off the top.
One of the best producers in the business.
And just a quick shout out too for Spud's game. 2 in 5 of us will experience mental health issues in our lifetime, but the team at the Danny Frawley Centre is trying to change that, and they need your help. Your donation will save lives. Search Spud's Game to donate today. And a shout out too for Laps for Life, a listener of ours, Michael, who hung on the line for a while, but he's raising money for youth mental health. You can head to Laps for Life.
He's that's one swimming. He's doing a big swimming fundraiser.
That's it. Lapsforlife.com.au if you want to help.
Yeah, and it's a big weekend to shine a light on the whole mental health challenge and what the resources are in place to help deal with it. And Stevie Baker, we've heard from today, is great. Laps for Life is a great thing. And the Spuds game is going to be huge tonight at the MCG. This is just a nice feel-good one for you to finish off the week, right? Yep. Boys, thanks always for your show. Stevie Baker, inspirational, very entertaining. That lovely reporter you had on the rabbit hole was great. That was Charnel Vella. Really good to get reporters' perspective on what they do, including watering the gardens of someone they're trying to interview. And even the Yuka app I downloaded last night, very helpful. You guys make our lives a bit better. Love you. That's from Nancy.
Thank you, Nancy.
Doesn't that make
that is lovely?
Yeah, doesn't that make you feel good?
That is lovely. And if you do want to have a good listen, go to the rabbit hole, because Charnel Vella was fantastic yesterday.
She was magnificent, and she told a couple of she was a great chap, but a couple of ripping stories. I am laughing as well.
I am laughing because while we were saying that, this came through. Tim, you are shocking on Talk Back Footy. You spoiled the show.
You can go on the file, that bloke. I was trying
Why
to end
would
on a.
Somebody think that that's a good to idea to send that into somebody when we've been talking about the things that we've been. You
that's
need
right.
to have a good, long, hard look at yourself.
We're talking
that miserable
about
person.
How we think about each other, and you thought it would be a good idea to get on your little phone and text him to try and bring him down. Old 5559.
Well, it won't work anyway.
I hope you're feeling good about yourself, yep.
Off to the sick bay.